Hey there, it's Preston here, and before we get started with today's show, I want to share a fun new opportunity with you. We're preparing to launch Freelance to Founder Shorts, 5 to 10 minute episodes addressing a singular specific question from one of you. If you've ever wanted to promote your business on our show but don't have enough questions to fill a full episode, this is your chance. Just submit a question at freelance2founder.com/ask, and we'll give your business a plug and include our best short answers to your question. As always, we can't do this show without you, so visit freelance2founder.com/ask today and submit a question. You can send a text, record audio, or make a quick video, and it just takes a few minutes at freelance2founder.com/ask. We can't wait to hear from you, and now on to the show. Hey everyone, I'm Preston Lee.
And I'm Clay Mosley.
And this is Freelance to Founder. Every week, we sit down with freelancers like you for actionable coaching calls with one mission.
To help you ditch the feast-famine lifestyle.
And build your own sustainable business.
At one point, we were both brand new freelancers, barely making ends meet.
But by now, we've started, grown, and even sold a few businesses of our own.
And we want to help you do the same. If you're ready to go from freelance to founder,
then join the army of freelancers who are taking matters into their own hands.
Visit freelance2founder.com to apply for your own on-air coaching call. And now, get ready to take some notes because an all-new episode of Freelance to Founder starts right now.
On today's show, are you a bit of a control freak? Being hesitant about giving up control in your business is normal. We're all nervous to hand off work to contractors sometimes. But if you never hand off smaller tasks, you never free yourself up to be a founder in your own business. And that's where we find Sylvia, our guest on today's show. Sylvia has a small team of contractors, but finds herself reluctant to hand off her oldest or biggest clients. So, how can Sylvia finally hand off daily client tasks and focus on the progress of her own business? You'll find out after this quick break. Stay tuned. Whether you want to travel more or communicate better with international clients, you need to try Babbel. I've used Babbel's courses, and you can do the same in order to learn real-life conversation skills in a different language, order food, ask for directions, or speak to clients without having to use translation apps. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for our listeners at babbel.com/freelance. That's 60% off at babbel.com/freelance, spelled babbel.com/freelance. Rules and restrictions apply. When you wake up in the morning and check your phone, does it feel like this or like this? Because with Shopify, your morning can feel like this way more often. That's the sound of a sale being made on your new Shopify store. And while client payments may require weeks or months of work, you can start generating a semi-passive income to grow your business by setting up a Shopify store all of your own. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your latest designs on shirts or bags or adding something totally different to your business, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. You can sell online, you can sell in person, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. With Shopify, you can set up your store in minutes and start selling immediately. And Shopify's award-winning support is there to help you as you go. Sign up for a $1 per month trial at shopify.com/freelance. That's all lowercase. That's shopify.com/freelance to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/freelance. Or click the link in our show description and start waking up to this. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Freelance to Founder. My name is Preston Lee with Millo.co, and joining me on the air, as always, is my friend Clay Mosley from GetDripify.com. Hey, Clay.
Hey, how's it going?
So good. We are on the line here with our new friend Sylvia calling from Portugal, and I think maybe our first time caller ever from Portugal. We were trying to remember.
First time.
My pleasure.
Yeah, welcome to the show, Sylvia. Thanks so much for calling in.
No problem. Thank you for allowing us to be on the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk a little bit about your business. Let's dive in and tell us what kind of things you're working on and just a little more about your work.
Yeah, sure. So I'm currently doing freelance social media management. as well as kind of on the side, my bonus business is doing online education for other freelancers that are either looking to get started or learn how to market themselves, mostly on Upwork and Instagram. That's where I focus on the most. So I sell courses on that and create content about that online and everything like that.
Awesome. It sounds like we need to talk a little bit more because we are creating content all the time for freelancers, obviously. Mm-hmm. We should see if we can find a way to collaborate. So let's talk about your core freelancing business then. You said you do social media management and marketing management mostly. Yeah. What all does that entail?
Yeah, so I have different types of packages for, you know, the different stages that a business can be at. Mostly what I do is ongoing management for my clients. So creating the content and creating content calendars and even managing the day-to-day of the accounts. But I also offer more one-off services like strategies and audits to get an account rolling, if you can say.
Okay. Yeah. And are most of your clients there in Portugal or are they all over the world?
Yeah, not at all. I have like, probably I can count on one hand the number of clients I had from here. It's mostly from the US, sometimes Canada, UK. But yeah.
And do you find most of them on Upwork?
Yeah, I would say like 95 to 99% of them have been either through Upwork or referrals from clients that have found me on Upwork.
Yeah. Awesome. And what kind of like are they, what kind of clients primarily are you working with? I know we talked about where they live, but like, are they in a certain industry or are they a certain size or anything, or is it really a wide variety?
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a wide variety. I have always been told to niche down, but I feel like my niche, if you can say, are brands that I can relate to. And I know that sounds pretty vague. But if I can relate to your business and see myself helping your business, I want to work with you.
Mm. I love that. That makes it easy to understand their vision and where they're headed and be able to, especially like in social media, be able to speak with their voice and be true to their brand and things like that.
Right.
Good. Well, you know, as every listener of the show knows, we have guests like Sylvia on all the time. We would love to have you on the show, just like Sylvia's coming on today. But everyone who comes on the show fills out a really quick questionnaire. And on there, there's one question amid many others that says, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being freelancer, 10 being founder, where would you rate yourself? And this is to sort of give us an idea of like where your business is currently at and how we can help you take it to the next level, right? And so you put currently, Sylvia, that you're at a 4 in your business, closer to a freelancer, and that you'd like to be maybe at a 7, maybe a small team. I don't know. Tell us what a 7 looks like. What's a perfect world 7 for you, Sylvia?
Yeah, so my ideal sometime this year, my goal this year is really to grow my business in general, both sides. And for that, I want to start outsourcing a little bit more. I do have some people currently on my team, but I want to give them maybe a little bit more responsibility so I can be a little bit more out of the weeds of the day-to-day stuff while still keeping in touch with my clients, being there for any issues that arise and any calls that they need. Everything like that. So I don't want to be fully hands-off, but I do want to have more time for the educational side of the business.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us about your team quick.
Yeah. So it started actually when my boyfriend, when he left his job, he joined the team.
Oh, nice.
And then I started outsourcing to people that I found on Instagram and people that have taken my courses actually, which has been quite kind of fun.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, so it's like currently like me and 3 other people. So it's like a small team. But I'm looking to either grow it or give them more responsibility, like I said, so I can not be all the time tuned into my clients' accounts.
Yeah. So how many people total?
It's me plus 3, so 4. Okay.
So 4 total.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Are these contractors or full salaried or?
They're working as freelancers, so it's more on an as needed basis. Okay. Yeah, I would say something like that.
And so you're talking about now scaling up a little, maybe adding a few more people to the team and potentially mm-hmm. handing off even more responsibility to them. What are you finding is your biggest challenge or biggest hurdle? How can we help you maybe do that a little bit more?
Yeah, I find that my biggest challenge has always been to let go. As I start outsourcing more stuff, I find myself almost clinging to some of the stuff like, oh, this I can do. I don't need to outsource. And then I end up doing most of the stuff anyway because of, you know, perfectionism and also not wanting to let clients down. Mm-hmm. Like, I never want the fact that I'm growing my team that will provide them a worse level of service, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I think Clay is going to have some good advice on this, having scaled a large team, larger than I've ever grown. But I guess, like, I'd like to know before Clay offers some of his advice, I'd like to know where that fear is coming from. Have you been able to identify that? Like, what really is your fear that that the level of professionalism that your contractors have isn't as high as yours, or that they don't have as much industry knowledge, or that they don't have the communication skills, or is it something to, I'm sort of guessing here. Have you been able to identify why you feel uneasy about it?
I guess it's more like a need to control. It's more inside than actually something that I have physical proof of, because I've seen their work so far and I barely do any edits. So it's an irrational fear, if you can say it.
You know, working from home is mostly great, but there are some days when I realize I haven't left my house or even my chair like all day. Have you been there? Getting outside to exercise or making a trip to the gym are just harder now that my office is just a flight of stairs away. If you're stuck in the same rut as me, then you should try Hydro. That's Hydrow. With the Hydro Rower and 20 minutes a day, getting a full body workout is so much easier. Hydro can work up to 86% of your muscles in just 20 minutes for an insane effective home workout. That's because Hydro pairs the effectiveness of rowing with the power of technology to connect you with over 5,000 video trainings, classes, and workouts. And get ready to get out from behind your home desk, because after a few months of daily rowing with Hydro, your partner's going to want to take you out for a night on the town to show you off. This spring, join the growing rowing community at Hydro. Head over to hydro.com and use code freelance to save up to $400 off your Hydro. That's Hydrow.com and promo code freelance to save $400. Hydro.com, promo code freelance, or just click the link in our show description. Have you ever noticed that many of the problems people call in with on this show can be solved by hiring someone? Sometimes you need a full-fledged team, other times maybe just a simple assistant or an expert in something you're not great at. Whatever your reason for hiring, we recommend you take a look at LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. As you may know already, LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. And LinkedIn Jobs makes the process of finding the perfect teammate easy and intuitive. Hiring is always easy when you have access to so many quality candidates. So easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours when using LinkedIn Jobs. I've used it myself, and it was so simple. In fact, I've made multiple hires using LinkedIn Jobs. And did I mention, by the way, it's free to business owners like me and you. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/freelance. That's linkedin.com/freelance to post your job for free, or click the link in our show description. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay. So they're doing a decent job. That's what it sounds like.
Right.
You just have a control issue.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm curious, like, the things that they are doing, mm-hmm. why is it that you were okay with letting them do those things. How did you make that decision? Walk me through that thought process.
Right. So I mostly have been outsourcing content creation. So creating posts every week and editing videos and stuff like that. And the reason for that is simply because that's what takes up the most time. And because I want the time that I do work with clients still to be more on the strategic end. So getting educated is one, and then coming up with ideas based on what I keep learning about. So I want to be more available for that and not be so much mm-hmm. into the content creation aspect of it.
So is there anything on your plate right now that you would love to hand off? Let's just say you cloned yourself. Outside of the strategic stuff, like that stuff that you want to keep, what would you hand off to yourself?
I think apart from outsourcing more of the content creation, because there's a part of it that I still do for some of my clients, apart from that, the next step I think would probably be someone to manage, like, you know, emails and the day-to-day stuff that adds up in the end. Like, it seems to take 5 minutes here and there, but when you really look at it, you're wasting a lot of time and it breaks up your focused work.
Okay. And what part of social media stuff do you still do specifically?
I do content for some of my clients, like one or two. And I do the strategy, the reports, and everything like that.
So why do you do it for those clients and you outsource the others?
Well, because they are my longest term ones, and it's hard to let go, essentially.
Okay. But you're still the face of all, you're still the face, client facing with all of your social clients?
Yeah, right. Okay. And that's something else that I don't want to mix different struggles here, but sure. That's something else that sometimes I struggle with is like, how much do I need to disclose that I have a team working on their content, you know? Mm. Because like, I still like to review everything before it goes up. Mm-hmm. But like, sometimes I feel like, oh, am I positioning myself too much as a freelancer versus someone who has a team, you know?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think that could be part of why maybe you're having some trouble is because on the front end with these clients, you're not fully disclosing that. At least not, it sounds like you're not doing it as much as you would like or as much as you, what am I trying to say? You're not disclosing that fully to clients. Is that a correct statement? Like, is that what you just said?
It's not necessarily, I mean, let me back up. I do have a lot of information both on my Upwork profile and my portfolio that I send clients that mm-hmm. talks about me having a team and shows my team even. But sometimes I'm afraid that the client won't understand that and still expect me to do everything.
Okay. So I will tell you right now, as long, like, clients, generally speaking, they don't care.
Yep.
they don't. As long as you are transparent about that on the front end. Now, if you tell them straight up that you are doing it, but then they later find out that it was somebody else, now they have a problem. Mm-hmm. They don't have a problem with the fact that somebody else is doing it. They have a problem with the fact that you lied to them. Mm-hmm. So I would say, like, start like at the beginning, like even before you sell it to them or, you know, as a prospect, like go ahead and tell them, hey, I have a team that I work with, I manage. And don't worry, like I look at all the quality of the work before it's, you know, finalized, blah, blah, blah. But as long as you're upfront about that with clients, they don't care. They don't.
And I'd add, like, and don't forget what you're going to say, Clay, but I'd add to that little piece of advice that I think sometimes we go about it backwards and we like say we have a team, but don't worry. Right?
Yeah.
Instead, like, sell your team as a differentiator and a selling point. Like, you have this extra support and these talented people. Some of them might even be better than you at some of the things that you do as a company. Sell that to your clients. Like you say, yes, you'll get access to me, but you'll also get access to a team of four really talented social media marketers. We have proven results. We do great work together. If I'm ever not available, they will take great care of you or whatever. Like, you sell it as a positive thing, not as a, well, don't worry, I'm still going to, you know, they're really bad at their jobs, but I'm still going to review everything that they do so that it doesn't suck. Like, no, sell it as a positive thing. Okay, sorry, keep going.
Very good point. That's exactly what I was going to say. What I was going to say is like that, yeah, a lot of people pitch it as in like, my team is secondary, right? Like, it's secondhand, second tier work. Where in the reality is that you, like, a lot of times, like, your team are probably, like, can be better at what they do than you.
And more available to the client.
Yeah. And it's like, for example, my video editor guy, like, I can video edit, but I'm not as good as him. Mm-hmm. And so the way I pitch it is, hey, I got my guy Joe. He is so much better at video editing than me. Like, he's going to do a tremendous job. And so, but I'll say, but you know, like, I'm going to work with him on overall concept and things like that. But this guy is solid. He's so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think if you start doing this at the beginning, you'll get way more comfortable from a mindset perspective. And that will, I think, just from the mindset, that will actually allow you to outsource things a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I think this is like a, I think it's a little bit of a mindset thing with clients. And so I think as long as you start telling your clients, hey, my team is kick ass, they're going to do amazing work. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to ease your mind into outsourcing these things.
Yeah, I just wrote a reminder for myself to go back and check, you know, the documents that I have and how I'm phrasing it, just to make sure that I'm, you know, being as transparent as I can.
And, you know, I don't think it even has to be like as blunt as we're maybe saying, where like you pause whatever you're talking about and you say, just so you know, I have a team. Mm-hmm. Like, it could even just be it can be natural, right? It's like when you're talking about your process, you'll say, yeah, so once we sign you on, first I'll have a sit down with you. We'll talk about your vision and your desires for a strategy. We'll start to work on a strategy together. And once you and I have really nailed down the strategy, I'm going to hand off the strategy to some of these really talented social media marketers on my team, and they're going to run with it and they're going to do amazing work with it, right? And then it just naturally works itself into like the process. You don't have to like awkwardly say, just so you know, I want to be transparent with you, I have a team. No, just talk about it. And again, like, really talk positively about it, like it's a bonus.
Right.
Okay, well, I mean, so it sounds like we've talked a little bit about this idea of how do I tell my clients that I have a team under me, but it feels like that's not the issue we started with, right? The real issue we started with was, how do I let go? How do I not let my perfectionism take over, and how do I let my team work more with my clients? I think our answer to the other starts to solve this problem, because if from the get-go your clients are aware that you have a team, they're familiar with your team members, they expect to hear from your team members, then it becomes a little easier to hand it off and not have to worry about that transition. Mm-hmm. They're just expecting it. But what still is holding you back from handing more off to your team, would you say, Sylvia?
So, I mean, right now, what I would have to hand off my team would be those one or two clients that I'm still creating content for. And other than that, it would be any future clients, which with that, I feel like I'm more comfortable with, because, you know, I never worked on their content, so I'm not as attached to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about then handing off those few major clients that you've been working with forever. Mm-hmm. What things are you missing out on? How many hours a week? Let me ask this. How many hours a week do you work typically?
In general?
Yeah.
about 15 to 20, not counting my own content creation.
Okay. So about 20 hours a week on this freelance side of the business, this agency side of the business. So let's just say 20 hours. How many of those hours do you spend creating content for these clients we're talking about that you're hesitant to let go?
Ooh, good question. I feel like it would be closer to the 20 because right now I'm not able to picture anything else. Apart from obviously the more admin side, but that I don't track as much. Okay. So I feel like it's mostly content creation.
And mostly
in one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So follow me on this thought experiment then. Mm-hmm. What kinds of things could you do or would you want to do for your business on either side, on the education side or on the agency side? What kinds of things have you wanted to do for a long time and haven't found the time for it? Can you think of any?
I can actually tell you like right now, because this week I haven't had much client work to focus on. And I've been working on nailing down the presentations for the course that I'm launching in the summer. Mm. So it's been great. It's been feeling great to have that extra time to work on something that, I mean, not saying that I'm not passionate about what I do for my clients. I definitely am. But something that's for myself and that I feel serves a bigger purpose, if that's not too corny.
Yeah, it's not at all. And it's more aligns with your long-term vision for your business. And so what I'm getting at is we've talked about the show many, many times about this idea of opportunity cost, right? Every minute or every hour that you spend working on these clients that you're too afraid to hand off to your subcontractors is a minute or hour that you could be spending on this other stuff that you feel like contributes more to the long-term vision of your business. And so every time you do that now, I want you to think to yourself, I could be doing this other thing if I would just hand this off to my subcontractors. Mm-hmm. And think of the impact if you would hand off those 20 hours a week or even half of those, right, to subcontractors. Think of the impact you could have on these other initiatives and projects that you want to move forward.
Mm-hmm. I definitely need to do a time audit alongside with looking at my more promotional materials. I definitely need to get a better idea because I was struggling to tell you where I spend my time on.
Yeah, I mean, that could be critical as well. And I just think though, like what changes me from being hesitant to hand something off to being excited to hand something off is when I have something more exciting to replace it with. When I have something I look forward to that I've been wanting to do forever that I don't have time to do, some new initiative, some new project, like you're launching your course. There's like all these things that you're excited to do, but you can't do them until you can find a way to let go and hand off those other projects to your subcontractors.
Yeah. You just said working on my course and I put a big smile on my face. That shows you.
Yeah, exactly. And so meanwhile, you're putting that on the back burner. You're putting that on hold while you do this other work that you're not that excited about, but you're just more scared to hand off to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, Sylvia, where do we go from here then? I mean, what's missing? Where do we take it?
I don't know. Like I said, I definitely need to look into things as I'm doing them right now and see, like based on our conversation, where I can make it better.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Can I ask just some rough numbers here? How much, like, I'm not asking for dollar amounts, but like what percentage of your revenue comes from project work versus your course?
I would say it's about 80-20, probably.
In favor of the project work?
80% project work clients that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Probably 80-20, 85-15, something like that.
Okay. And your course is already finished, correct? Like the course is like it's ready for someone to buy.
It is ready for someone to buy, but the old version. I'm currently working on the revamp.
Is the old version just not relevant anymore, or
it's just cringy for me?
Okay, so the content's still good though, right?
Yeah, I currently have someone taking it. It's just I felt like it definitely needed a new look.
Okay. And how much, can I ask how much you sell the course for?
It's $47, the regular version, and $97, the bonus or VIP.
Okay. So here, the reason I bring this up is because courses can be sold in a, I guess, quote unquote, passive way. Not to say like there's no work to put into it. Like I'm careful about when I throw the word passive around. Like it's just like, ugh.
Yeah.
But what I mean is,
you do the work
is,
up front, and then it can sell the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, we just did an episode on this talking about what it's delayed gratification is what it is.
Yeah.
What I mean by this is that you could sell the course. I know you're revamping it, but you do have a course that's available now, and the content's still relevant. You could sell it in your email marketing and retargeting ads and things like that. And so and that stuff can be running in the background. And so I don't know, because the reason I'm bringing this up is because I know a lot of people who they hustle to try to sell their course. Like they're one-on-one messaging people and like they're straight up doing sales activity they're chasing people to buy their course. And so I don't know how much time you put into that, but that stuff can be sold passively, where you're spending, you know, your other time doing the project work. And you can do that until you're able to put more time into the course stuff whenever you outsource, you know, your project work kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's in the sense what I'm doing right now. I do client work Monday through Thursday, and then on Fridays, I do content for myself. And that's mostly how I sell my stuff. It's not nice. Necessarily directly messaging people or anything like that. When I'm in my DMs, it's mostly to answer questions about the content that I'm putting out, which then sometimes lead me to say, hey, I have this course, like this can probably help you out better than a DM. But I'm doing that, mm-hmm. you know, 4 days a week for my clients and one for myself. And ideally, I probably wanted to, you know, just have more time for my side of the business. And,
gotcha. Okay.
You know, I'm trying to move it over, I don't know, to 50-50 or something like that, closer to that.
Yeah, that's awesome that you have blocked that. Not a lot of people do that, where they block a certain amount of time, like every single week, to work on your own stuff. I want to also recommend something too. I think it was on an episode. If you go look up, I could be completely wrong about this, but there's an episode where we had Bobby Macy on the show, and we talked about time. Like, how much time are you spending on certain things? And so one of the things I mentioned to him was log your time. Like, log every single half hour or 15 minutes throughout an entire 24-hour period for a typical workday. Mm-hmm. And so what I would do is print out a sheet of paper where it's like every 15-minute time block for entire 24 hours, and log what you do in every single time slot. And then go back and look to see what you wrote down. And don't, like, it's really easy to like lie to yourself, but don't lie to yourself. Like, otherwise you're not doing yourself any good. Lying to yourself, just like, it totally, it hurts you. So, So go back and look to see how you recorded your time. I mean, even your sleep, right? Like, if you slept from, you know, midnight to 7 a.m. or whatever, then log that. Or if you scrolled on social media, and when I say scroll, I'm not talking about like content creation and stuff you're doing for work. I'm talking about you're just sitting there scrolling, watching dumb TikTok videos or whatever. So log that time, because like there have been times where, man, I get on TikTok and like I start watching these dumb videos and like literally 3 hours later, I'm like, what did I just do with my life? And so I would venture to say, like, I would be willing to bet you would be surprised at what you waste your time on. Yeah. And then look at all the things that would especially the administrative task, but like look at all the things that would cost you, you know, less than 10 US dollars per hour or 15 US dollars per hour to outsource, right? And then outsource all those things. Because the fact is that you as the business owner, you earn more than that, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least I hope you do.
I definitely do.
Yeah.
But it took me a while.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I mean, anybody can go make 10 US dollars an hour working at a McDonald's. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so like your work, you should not be doing $10 an hour tasks. Like, so go and log your 24 hours, highlight all the things that one, you're just completely wasting time, right? That you don't outsource, like watching dumb TikTok videos. And then go back and highlight the things that you are currently doing for your business, but you could outsource that for a small amount of money and then just do it. And you would be surprised how many hours a day you would save. Does that make sense?
Sylvia, I accidentally muted you. I'm sorry. You'll have to unmute to come back.
I was like, I was talking.
Sorry.
But yeah, I think that can lead to like a big wake up call. I can already imagine, like you were talking about that and I was looking back in my day in my head, and I can already see just from thinking about it a couple of places where today I wasted time that I should have been working on something else or, you know, just been relaxing even. And yeah, I definitely feel like that could help. I do track my time, but it's just for billable tasks. So I'm curious to know what I'm wasting my time on that either someone else could do or that I'm just being dumb by doing it.
Well, those dumb tasks are also billable, except you are paying the toilet. You know what I mean? You're just throwing that money down the toilet. And so if you want to look at it that way, like, yes, you should track all your time. Yeah. Now, that's not to say that... I'm going to be very, very clear. That's not to say you should take time away from health or like sleep or like that kind of stuff or family time or personal time. Like, you know, I have a 3-month-old daughter now. And so like that time for me, even though I'm not making money, is super important to me. So keep your priorities and then everything else, you know, track it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'd say like in talking about, you sort of have these two businesses, right? And you get really excited about this other part of the business that's only bringing in 20% of your revenue. But every, like I was saying before, every time decision that you make, you know, yes, the family stuff, the relaxing stuff, like we are huge proponents of that. There's no use in working yourself to death. But if you take that out and you just look at your work hours and you track those, every hour you should be saying like, is this the best hour I could be spending on my business? Or is there something I could be doing that makes me more excited, that brings in more revenue, that you know, serves the long-term vision of my business, or any of those kinds of questions? It can be so easy when we have clients and when we're hesitant to outsource or to delegate, it can be so easy to just like do the same thing every day. I do this all the time. I still find myself doing this, right? It can be so easy to just like do what I've always done or just do whatever other people have put on my to-do list for the day or whatever. And I have to stop every once in a while and say, am I really doing like what I want long-term for my business or what I want long-term for my lifestyle? Or am I just doing whatever's in front of me? Well, Sylvia, where should we go from here? Have we left anything out? Do you have any questions left that you'd like to address in the last few minutes here?
Not any that I can think of, but I'm just excited to start looking at things a little bit differently and seeing where that takes me, basically.
Well, that's awesome. I think it's been a fun phone call. Hopefully it's been helpful for you. And we'd love to have you tell our listeners where they can find you.
Yeah, so you can find me on Instagram. That's where I'm mostly active. It's at the Silvia Pinho, Pinho. And yeah, I mean, I'm also on YouTube. You can find that linked in my Instagram bio. And yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking time to come on the show today. And as always, thanks to my friend Clay from GetDripify.com. Clay, thanks so much. And you guys have a great day.
You too.
See ya.
See you later.
Bye.
Freelance to Founder is produced by the team at Millo. Visit millo.co to level up your freelancing.
And Dripify, visit getdripify.com to become a bad A in business.
Freelance to Founder is also part of The Podglomerate. You can check out more amazing podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. The theme music for this show was produced by Joaquin Carude.
You can catch past episodes at freelancetofounder.com or by searching Freelance to Founder in your favorite podcast player.
While you're at it, we'd love an honest review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's all for now. Until next time, see ya.